Okay, so tonight we are starting a brand new Vad on the Torah of the Chafetz Chaim. And we're probably going to go through the Chafetz Chaim ala Torah and Parsha by Parsha as we're approaching Yom Tovim. We'll try to find pieces that the Chafetz Chaim speaks about Yantif. And we're going to see a new angle of the Chafetz Chaim. I think many of us, if we're familiar with the Svarim, it would be the Mishneh Berurah or the Shmiras HaLashon, the Chafetz Chaim. But the Chafetz Chaim was a masterful darshan as well, in a sense, not in the sense of being an orator, but his Torah on Machshava, his Mishalim that he gave were very famous. And he has very penetrating insights on the Parsha, and I wanted to focus on him this year. Just as a little biographical background about who the Chafetz Chaim was, I don't think he needs much introduction. I think we're all very familiar with the Chafetz Chaim on so many levels. But he was born in 1838, and he was Nifter in 1933. So he had arichas yom. Today, you know, we're used to gedolim living, you know, in their 90s and close to 100, Baruch Hashem. But back in those days, it was very rare to have such arichas yomim. The Chafetz Chaim, they say, used to daven that he should have arichas yomim, because since he became the proliferator of the mitzvah of Shmiras HaLashon. And the pasuk says, "Mi ha'isha Chafetz Chaim, ayev yamim lirais tayev mitzar l'shem chamera." That who is the person who desires life? That's what Chafetz Chaim means. Ayev yamim, he loves his days. Lirais tayev. What do you do if you want arichas yamim? You have to be mitzar l'shem chamera. So he said it would be like the ultimate, like chil Hashem, if I die young. After being known as the Chafetz Chaim, and he dies young, that would not be good. So he was very, very, even though he was always very careful and guarded about, he didn't want people to know how old he was, but I think when he turned 80 or maybe 90, he told his family to make him a party and be mefarsim it, so that people should understand that when you speak, when you are careful and you guard your tongue, you're zeiche to arichas yamim, Vishanim. And Chafetz Chaim was a person, I would say, that he's in a league of his own in terms of being a Gadol B'Yisrael. He lived in a time of great Gadol B'Yisrael. Think about it. He was born in 1838. That brings him, you know, we sometimes think of him as like a 19th century Gadol, but he lived the bulk of his life in the 1800s. That means that he was born you know, about 40 years after the Vilna Gaon was Nifter. It's very, it really brings him back. He overlaps with the Aruch Lener and with, you know, so many Gedolei Yisrael that lived, you know, in that part of, you know, all, the whole Dardea in the 1800s, he lived concurrently with. But we know him as Chafetz Chaim more in the 20th century because he... You know, he became, I guess, much more meforsim in the 20th century with his svarim and his Mishneh Berurah and his Shmiras HaLashon. All that, I think, took place more later on in life. And he was known to be, of course, the Tzaddik Hadar, and he was a universally accepted figure. Chasidim are Machshev, of course, the Chafetz Chaim, and Misnagdim, and Yekes, and the whole world is like knows that the Chafetz Chaim is kind of shem la'atzma. He had like a different, but what I think a few people used to say it, but it's known that the Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Brisker were both two gedolim that lived in the same tekufa. And if I would ask you about like what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of Reb Chaim Soloveitcher, Reb Chaim Brisker? He is a brilliant guy in learning. But what the Olam says is that as much as he was brilliant in learning, his chesed was much greater, his tzidkus was much greater. They tell stories about Reb Chaim Brisker that off-the-chart stories about his godless and his tzidkus and the chesed that he did with people. And we don't have time to talk about Reb Chaim Brisker tonight, but the opposite And when you think about the Chavetz Chaim, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? His tzidkus, he's a Chavetz Chaim, he's holy, and he's, he was Isaac and Chesed, and he was so good to people, and all the great stories that's told about the Chavetz Chaim. But as great as he was in Chesed, the Eilim says, he was much greater in Ga'inus. His Chesed eclipsed his Ga'inus, but his Ga'inus is really greater. Where do you see his Ga'inus? If you open up the Mishnah Berurah, so the Mishnah Berurah, you could say, is Likutim, that he basically gathered on Shulchan Aruch, and the Nisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, and he put it together. But in the Bir Halacha is pure alumdus. It's his, he goes into all the sugyas, and he really, has lumdus there, and you see his grasp of Kol Torah Kula. And so these are a few anecdotes about the greatness of the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim was a Gaon, he was a tzaddik, and he was he represents a real major part of the Messiah of Klal Yisrael, and he really saved Klal Yisrael in many ways, because he brought back these mitzvahs of Lashon Hara. He gave us the Aruch Chaim and Shulchan Aruch. Without a Mishnah Berurah, who knows how much people would really be Isaac, and we had Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and most people are, but that Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is a very, very, very simple text, and it's great for, for the layman, but if you're a little bit more of a Talmud Chacham and you want to really see the sugya, and you want to understand what the Shulchan Aruch is saying and why, where he's coming from in the Ramah, and you need a real machria, like the Chazon Ish used to say about the Chafetz Chaim, about the Mishnah Berurah, that he is the Sanhedrin Gedayla. He is like the Pesach Achron, and he, whatever he says is stands as halacha. And so the Chafetz Chaim was really a fusion of all worlds, and all and every single miktsaya of Torah was the Chafetz Chaim's. So it's a big schus. We have to sort of enter into this vad with great trepidation, because the Chafetz Chaim was had such kedusha, such intense holiness, that his Torah, which resonates, and it's so practical, and it's so usable, but it's also the Chavetz Chaim's Torah, and we have to approach with great Meir Malchus. All right, so let's see a beautiful vart that the Chavetz Chaim says on this week's Parsha Shoftim. Right off the bat, Hashkiyah Shoychad Ya'aver Einei Chachamim. Talking about Shoftim, talking about judges, there's a very severe isser for a judge, of course, to take bribes. Why? Because bribery has the ability to blind even the eyes of a chacham. You could be a brilliant, brilliant Talmud chacham. You could be a shayfet. It's not easy to be a shayfet. You have to have be a baki in chayshem mishpat, be a baki in all the paiskim. But yet, if you give a judge, as chashev as he may be, you give him $10 bill, suddenly he starts being blinded and his vision becomes blurred and he's not able to really see right from wrong. That's what the pasuk says. So with that as a background, let's see what the Chavetz Chaim says. L'mashal, im Reuven amar al Shimon. I love this vart. He says, if let's say Reuven says about Shimon, shehu ish asher, that Shimon is a very wealthy man. He's a gevir. You hear from Reuven saying about Shimon that he is a gevir. Nucha laman al midas ashrei shel Shimon, im yedea lanu at kam magi asher shel Reuven, ki yuchal hayais Reuven hu ani meduka ad shebal me'a shekel la'asher be'enav yechashev. When somebody tells you that that a certain person is very wealthy, so are you impressed or not? If somebody says, "Wow, that guy is like mamish," everybody owns half of Manhattan. Anyone in real estate, right away people say he owns half of Manhattan, right, but let's say I say, this guy is very, very wealthy. He's a very wealthy person. So you shouldn't be impressed unless the person that's saying about him that he's very wealthy is himself very wealthy. If let's say a person is an Ani Vavyan, and he says about Chaim that Chaim is very wealthy, well, Shkayach, for you, very wealthy might be that he has $50 bill in his pocket. doesn't mean anything because you're saying that. But let's say somebody that's a Rothschild says that this guy is wealthy. That's already chashev. Rothschild's machshev, this person. Rothschild himself is saying that this guy is a gevir. He must really be a gevir. He must, that because the person speaking about this person is Rothschild himself. So his daya matters. His opinion, when he says something, the point is that when somebody is mishabeach somebody else, it's only chashev based on who is the one that's being mishabeach. Always look at who the person is that is giving praise to the other person. Because if the person himself is schwach, so then, who cares what he says. But if he himself is very wealthy, and he's saying about somebody else that he's very wealthy, then that's a pretty chashava, that's a chashava compliment. Ulam, says the Chavetz Chaim, however, im mishehu shama mi gizbar aitzreisev shal rothcha, I'm not sure that he said. If somebody hears that from the treasurer of Rothschild, Lamashal, Al Shimon Shu Ish Asher, about Shimon that he's a very wealthy man, as I Efshalashar, then you could be Mishar ki Asher Shal Shimon Magia Lerivavais. It must be that this guy's like a multimillionaire. Ki Lule Zais. Rothschild wouldn't know about this guy unless he was like, unless he made the Fortune 500 along with him. Rothschild wouldn't be machshev, it wouldn't be appropriate even for a very wealthy gevir to compliment another guy that he's wealthy unless he's mamish super wealthy. Because otherwise, I should be mishabeach somebody over their wealth. Why would I do that? Unless, how would I even know about this guy? Unless he's mamish wealthy. So you can really get a sense of how true and how great a person is by based on who is the one giving the praise. Person giving the praise himself a great gevir, then you could rest assured that the guy that he's saying is a gevir is taka a gevir. What is the Chavetz Chaim comparing this to? This pasuk. V'chein ha'din b'chachma. Let's say Reuven says about Shimon that he's a very smart guy. As I Reuven is saying the guy's a smart guy. Now let's say Reuven is a flunky. He can't pass any tests, and he's like mamish, like he has a head like a watermelon. So is that going to be impressive that this guy says that maybe, if he knows algebra, if he can get a 65 on an algebra test, to him that's a genius. So it's not impressive. Ulam im shamanu shagayin Reb Kiva Eger l'mashal. But let's say you hear Reb Kiva Eger himself, who is the gold standard of lumdis, of a genius. If you ever want to use like a gadol as a semel of a gain of a genius, Reb Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger is it. He's the gold standard. There's no one in his league in terms of gainess. Maybe the Vilna Gain. But the Reb Kiva Eger is known to be like, super, super, super genius and gainus and lumdus. So if, let's say, you hear that Reb Kiva Eger says, Kasav Lechem Shu Chacham, let's say you see that he's writing a letter, and in the letter he says in the titles, La Chacham HaMuflag. So Reb Kiva Eger is writing about somebody else that he's a Chacham. That's very impressive. You gotta like take notice of that. Ukumesha kasavti im shamanu sha Rambam amral ishechet shu chacham. Let's say the Rambam would, who is known to be the chacham mikol adam. Let's say he would say about somebody that he's a chacham, as ayin safek shu chacham gadol. It has to be that the person that he's talking about is a chacham gadol. Ki chazi man kam misedele. Because look at who's being made. The Rambam himself is testifying about something that somebody else is a chacham. Reb Kiva Eger is testifying about somebody is a chacham. It's money in the bank. The guy is for sure a chacham. The guy is not a, he's not a, you know, he is in no way anything but a super genius. I just want to tell you a good sushtal, a good supplement to this piece. Rav Shach used to say that if you look in the Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Lulav, so the Rambam says that he's speaking about Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he says that there's no greater kavod. There's no greater kavod and gedula in the world more than being merry in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's speaking about Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he's speaking about David HaMelech. When David HaMelech was dancing in front of the Arin, he brings the pasuk, Vamelech David, Mefazfes, Mekarcher. He was like dancing, and he was like jumping all around to give kavod to the Arin. And remember, and his wife says to him, Michal says, Bashal, she says, you know, how could you do this? Doesn't pass, you're a king. What are you dancing like Yeshiva Bach in front of an Aron for? You're the king. So what did David HaMelech say? Unekalesi Eid Mizais. Vayisi Shavu Beina, that I wish that I could be mevaz myself even more. I should be lower. Halavai, I should be lower in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to completely be machnia myself. So the Rambam says that there's no greater kavod or gedula, I think is his lashon, more than being misameich in front of this. You can't get better, more prestigious. You can't get more honor. You can't get more glory than being than dancing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being happy in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shach says a beautiful chap. He says that there's a medrash in Shir Hashirim. The medrash says that. I'm sorry, the Medrash on Kehelas. Medrash on Kehelas says that only Shlomo HaMelech has the credentials to write Sefer Kehelas. What is Sefer Kehelas all about? Sefer Kehelas is that Megillah that we read on Shabbos of Sukkot. And it's, if you ever read the English or you know what's going on in Kehelas, it's very depressing. It's very real. Because it's basically saying, he just keeps repeating that Hakol Hevel, Hevel Havel and Hakol Hevel, the whole world is Hevel. He says, I had 1,000 wives, I had palaces, I had vineyards, I had everything that I wanted. There was nothing that I deprived myself of. He says, but then I found that it was all nothing. It was all Hevel Havelim. The whole world is Hevel Havelim. He keeps repeating that. And he wrote Sefer Kehelas. Says the Medrash that he had the ability to write Sefer. Let's say I would have written Sefer Kehelas. Let's say I would sit down, Kavi Yochel, and I'd write a Sefer Kehelas, by the Mashkiach, and it says there about how, you know, I'm saying, you know, this world is nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing. You tap me on the shoulder and say, listen, Rebbe, you know, it's a beautiful Sefer that you wrote, but who are you to write a Sefer about Kehelas? I mean, you know, did you ever drive a Ferrari in your life? Maybe driving a Ferrari is taka not Hevel Havelim. Maybe living in a palace with 100 servants and swimming pools and anything that you could possibly want, maybe that's not Hevel Havelim. Maybe who are you writing? You have a private jet. You know what are you doing? Like, who are you to write that? You have no credibility to write it. But the Medrash says that Shlomo HaMelech is the only person that could write it because he had the credibility. He had everything. He tasted every hana in this world. He owned anything that he wanted. He was the richest man in the world. He was the smartest man in the world. He had every hana known to man in spades. If he comes and he writes Havel Havolam Hakol Havel, that's money in the bank. You could trust him. That's what the Medrash says. Says Rav Shach that whatever that Medrash just said, you could apply it equally to the Rambam. Because the Rambam himself was so great. We speak about Gedulah and Kavod. There's no one greater in the world. Possibly, you know, in the last 1,000 years, there's no one maybe in the world that really had the glory that the Rambam enjoyed. It's not just Jews that appreciate the Rambam. Goyim also, you know, medical, you know, in the world of medicine, the Rambam. In the world of philosophy, the Rambam. In the world of Torah, the Rambam. The Rambam was one of these universal figures, and everybody was the personal physician to the Sultan of Egypt. He was like the Surgeon General, and he was the Gadol Hadar. He had everything. The Rambam had everything. He was the world's possibly the most famous, celebrated person in history. So if the Rambam himself is writing that there is no gedula of a kavod more than rejoicing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Shach, that's money in the bank. You could trust the Rambam. Because if I would write that there's no gedula and kavod, what do you have? What type of gedula and kavod do you have? What gedula and kavod? You know what gedula and kavod is. The Rambam knew what gedula and kavod is, because the Rambam mamish was a spitz gedula and kavod. Everything is, he was famous, he had celebrity, he had fame, he had fortune, he had everyone was karei mishnachah to the Rambam, he was the melech. And so for him to say, ain gedula and kavod, that you could believe. If he writes in his Mishnah Torah that there's no greater fame and fortune and glory than rejoicing in front of God, who said that? Oh, the Rambam said that? That's true. I think we could all agree that if the Rambam is writing this, that there's no, the person who enjoyed the most fame and the most fortune in life, he's writing that there is no greater fame and fortune and glory than being misameach in front of Hashem. Okay, we could trust that. Because it's always dependent, you always have to know who's saying it. Who's saying it? If you study who's saying something, that's how you can measure the truth of what's being said. So if Rothschild is saying that this person is a gevir, he's a gevir. If Elon Musk, just to make it a little current, if he says, boy, that guy is very wealthy, Elon Musk is saying that guy is very wealthy. Okay, I think we could probably believe that he's very wealthy because Elon Musk knows a thing or two about what wealth is. Warren Buffett says about something, he's a great investor. He's a great investor. He wouldn't say it if he wasn't. Now, how is that negeya to us? Unitzayir na b'nafshenu, says the Eilgo Chavetz Chaim. Let's try to imagine in our minds. The smartest man in human history, Shlomo HaMelech. Let's say you would get a letter from Shlomo HaMelech, Shekaso Alatayr Chacham, and Shlomo HaMelech writes about a certain individual that he is a Chacham. Azai Hayaduolon. We would obviously know, like we said before about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, about the Rambam, Ki Chachmasei Meruba Ma'id. If Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, is describing another person as being a Chacham, you could trust that he's a Chacham. V'chein ma'yedu lan Avram Avinu ha'melechem b'mnei dar shu Chacham. Betachein l'mal mi'chachmas. If Avram Avinu is also a great Chacham, if he would say on somebody from his generation he's a Chacham, money in the bank, he's a Chacham. U'me'ata, listen to the Chapa, the Chavetz Chaim. U'me'ata tsev v'chashayv. Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydai u'ba'atzmai, meir al adam, shu chacham. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, forget Rav Kiveger, forget the Rambam, forget Shlomo HaMelech, forget Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is made about a person that he's a chacham. What would you say? Is the person a chacham or not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no greater. Shlomo HaMelech times a trillion isn't the Rabbeinu Shlom. The Rabbeinu Shlom is everything. The Rabbeinu Shlom has all the chacham in the world. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes that somebody's a chacham, what would you say? It's true or not? Obviously, he must be like a super gene. He must be a billion rugged chavers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying about him that he's a chacham. Imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being made on a human being that he's a chacham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what chacham is. Can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe I could, you know, you could fool a regular person, I could like throw around a couple of Maror Mekayimim, you think I'm a genius. But the Chavetz Chaim really knows the truth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. I said the Chavetz Chaim knows the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth. Azai ein tachlis ugvulacham. This must be a person with unlimited wisdom. V'yafal pikein hater me'ida olav sha'ashoychad yaver einav. Amazing. The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing a Pasuk in Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing that you have to be careful not to bribe a judge, and a judge cannot be bribed. Why? Because the second that a judge gets a bribe, it's going to be Ya'aver Enei Chachamim. You're probably going to think, okay, but a judge that takes a bribe, you know, is probably not a Chacham, he's probably a fake Chacham, he's a Facham, right? My kids always call it, whenever something's a fake something, you just put an F in front of the word. So he's a Facham. He's a fake Chacham, right? So, okay, so he's a fake Chacham. He's on the take. Not a real Chacham. He's probably just a, you know, faker that shouldn't be a dayan in the first place, and he just took a bribe, and so the Torah is saying that type of guy, just be careful, don't give him a bribe, he shouldn't be taking a bribe. No. If the Torah is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing this judge as being a genuine, bona fide chacham, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's writing is a chacham. Not Rabbi Akiva Eiger, not Shlomo HaMelech, not the Ram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydo b'atzmei is writing, is describing a human being as a chacham. That's legit. That's totally legit. There's no faking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying this person is an emes chacham. You must be talking about the greatest chacham ever. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying about him that he's a chacham, uve'ez chacham akasim edaveh aveim eloi chacham stam, masha b'riyas ha'm elosho chacham hu. Not that, you know, I could get along away with saying that, you know, with you could be impressed with me, right? I could fool the world. I could say, people might think that I'm a chacham if I throw around, the Chavetz Chaim, by the way, has a very very beautiful vart about noida basharim baila b'shiftim zikne aretz. So Chavetz Chaim says that, and Eishes Chayil says that noida basharim baila, that it's going to be known Besha'arim, in the gates, Baila, her husband, when he's sitting among Zikne Aretz. So this is talking about Torah. It's, you know, the simple pshat is talking about a woman. But really, if you look in the Medrashim, really Eishes Chayil is not necessarily a woman and a man's wife, but it's a man's spiritual wife, which is a Torah. What does it mean when it says Noida Besha'arim Baila? So it says L'Chavetz Chaim, this is brought in the Shvivei R from Elie Lapian, he brings it from the Chavetz Chaim. So like this, he says, in this world, and this is so true, unfortunately, it's very easy to fool people into thinking that you're a Talmud Chacham. Very easy. He says, like, it's easier than he says it, but let's say you throw that you quote a Gemara. Did you know the Gemara really from the Makar? Did you know that Gemara in Zvachim? Or maybe you knew it, he says, because he saw it in a Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua quoted that Gemara in Zvachim, so now you're quoting a Gemara in Zvachim. Everyone automatically assumes you're a Baki in Zvachim. You didn't know it from Zvachim, you knew it from a Pnei Yeshua. Halavai, that's also, today that would also be a Talmud Chacham. But the point is that, you know, you can get away with people, you know, you throw around a vart here and a vart there, and you know, it's not so hard to fool people into believing that you're a Talmud Chacham. When are people going to know the truth? Noida basharim baila, it's going to be known who the real Talmud Chacham, the Baal of Tyre, who's the husband of Tyre, who's really the Talmud Chacham, b'shifteim zikneretz, after a person dies, and now he's sitting in the Eilam Emes, and you're sitting with the Zikne Aretz, you're in front of a Bestin, there's a Stipler, Chaim Kanievsky, and then there's the Chazanish, and there's Rav Shach, and you know, and they're saying, okay, let's, you know, now tell us some Torah. You're going to be like, but everyone's saying you're a Talmud Chacham, right? Everyone's saying by your Hesped, they were just saying how you're a Baki in Shas. Let's hear it. Go ahead, start with Brachas. Ooh. You know, and Noida Basharim Bala, they're going to know in Basharim, in the gates of heaven, that's when everything is going to come out. That's when the truth is going to come out. Could fool people, and this world is very easy to fool people, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but in the next world, it's a different world. It's a different, there you can't bluff. You can't, there's the Eilam Emes, and what you know, what you don't know is very obvious. And so here, it's not talking about a chacham that's a fake chacham. The Torah is saying, "Masha b'riyas hamelav shechamu af loy chacham sheshlema melech meyed olav." Not even Shlomo Melech is meyed on him. Ela chacham shakadosh baruch hu ba'atzmei meyed olav b'tayros shuchacham. V'af al pi ken gadol kayach hashoychad. Now let's take that chacham. That's a genuine chacham. He's mamish a baki. The Torah is being meyed on him. Hakadosh baruch hu is being meyed. This guy is ma. He's not a fake chacham. He's a person that's mamish a baki in Kalatar Kula, and he knows all the chachmas of the world. He knows all the sheva chachmas. He knows math, and he knows science, and he has everything. He's mamish like a genius of geniuses. And yet, what is the Torah telling you? Afal piken gadol kayach hashoychad, the power of shoychad, the power to be bribed. You give him a couple of dollars. You give him some compliment. And immediately, as smart as he is, he's rendered paralyzed. His chachma is completely gone. because that money, that kavod, whatever it is that you're dangling in front of his eyes, is blinding, and it makes the person unable to render a normal decision because of the shaychad. Just to show you how powerful is the kayach of shaychad. It's not talking about stam chacham. Not talking about a guy that's a hillbilly that's on the take and he's just trying to get money and whatever. He has no shaykh is the chachma. He bought his smicha and he bought his way into the rabbanis and into the dayanis. No, he's a chacham. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself says a chacham. Doesn't get better than that. You can't get a better hagadus edus, and the Torah is saying he's a chacham. And yet, with all of his chachma, it's all lehevel v'rik. As soon as shaykhad comes into the picture. As soon as we're bribed, as soon as we see something flashing in front of our eyes, then all the chachma is worthless. It just dissipates in light of this concept called shaychad. That's the power of shaychad. But look at how beautiful the Chafetz Chaim brought this out. Such beauty to be able to. Who thinks about that? That the chacham that the Torah is talking about must be a real chacham. He's not a fake chacham. He's not He's a real chacham. He's the most brilliant man ever, maybe. And even him, if you give shaychad is more powerful than that. Shaychad has the ability to blind and this isn't nageya just for dayanim. This is shaychad is not just something for dayanim. Shaychad is for everybody. It's for everybody. Shaychad is something that we all have to be very careful about because we're always judging in one form or another. And sometimes, you know, we have to decide something and the decisions could be very much skewed based on a compliment, on something that we got from that person, and we have to be careful. Shaykhid is a very dangerous thing that, you know, is blinding, and we as smart as we are and as rational as we are and as clear minded as we are, but whenever there's shaykhid that comes into the picture, you have to be very careful, and it happens all the time. It happens to us on a daily basis that people, you know, will compliment us, and that will automatically make us decide something or give an etzah to somebody, or something happens as soon as there's shaychad, I can't help but being attracted to that person's position over somebody else's position. And, you know, you'll see as you get older, this is something that is true, and you have to, if that's the case, you have to be honest, and you have to recuse yourself if you feel like, you know, that I can't be impartial. Because this person, you know, there's a famous one of the Rishainim in the Shita Mekubetzes in Nedarim. I forgot which Rishon it was. I don't remember. But one of the Rishainim said that he was judging a case about a bathhouse between two litigants, and he had to recuse himself. He said, "I can't pass." He said, "Because I once got hanah from this bathhouse. I once used it as a schwitz or something, and so I can't be impartial. I had hanah from it, not from a person, even from a thing. Even that, you have to be you have to be very careful that when you're judging something, somebody asks you your decision about something, your opinion about something, you have to say, listen, I might have negias because, you know, this person is very nice to me and I like him a lot. Like somebody, you know, and it happens a lot. I find it a lot, like with shidduchim. Like you get a call, you know, about a person, and maybe there's something that, you know, you're not comfortable with about the person. But if the person did something nice to you, or bought you something, or whatever, gave you a nice compliment, it suddenly you're blinded. You can't even like give a normal opinion because things are dangling in front of your eyes, and it's blinding. And even the greatest chacham is susceptible to this terrible distraction called shaychad. And so this is the beautiful Yisrael Chafetz Chaim, and I hope that you appreciated it.